Exodus chapter 4. Going into this passage, Moses has been talking to the Lord. The Lord appeared to him in the burning bush, and Moses turned aside and went to see this bush that was being burned but not consumed. And the Lord said, "I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt." And Moses said, "Me? You want me to go do that?" And so the Lord said, "I have specific instructions for you, and this is how I want you to do it." And I want us to see Moses' response here, and I think it'll be a help to us and us recognizing how our response should be. And and let's get into the passage tonight, and we're going to start in verse 1 and read down through verse 18. It says, "And Moses answered and said, 'But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.' And the Lord said unto him, 'What is in thy hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled before it." I would probably do the same. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail.' And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, 'Put now thine hand into thy bosom.' And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, 'Put thine hand into thy bosom again.' And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not hearken, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, and they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land.' And Moses said unto the Lord, 'O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say.' And he said, 'O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And we'll read the rest, but let's pray, and then we'll get into the rest of the passage here. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful again to be here tonight. Thank you for those who are here. Thank you for their faithfulness. Pray, Father, that you just be with me tonight as I preach your word, that you would just guide my mouth, help me to say the things that you would only have me to say. I pray that you would speak through me, Father, that you would be used and honored and glorified when it's all said and done. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, in verse 14, as you read, it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, 'Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs.' And Moses went and returned to his father-in-law, and to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, 'Let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they yet be yet alive.' And Jethro said unto Moses, 'Go in peace.'" So the title of the message tonight is God Knows Your Talents. God Knows Your Talents. Now, we're coming up on a Summer Olympic year, and our family loves watching the Summer Olympics. We enjoy, my wife loves the gymnastics. I kind of like the rowing and the running and the more outdoorsy stuff. But we enjoy watching it. And the Olympics have the most talented athletes in the world. And their talents, they just didn't get them overnight. It was years of time and practice and experience. But someone who's on the rowing team isn't going to be a gold medalist on the gymnastics team. They're completely different talents. And when it comes to talents in ourselves, we don't always see what talents the Lord's given us, but He does. You know, there in the desert, the last thing Moses thought that he would be doing would be leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. I guarantee you, as he's sitting there keeping sheep, he wasn't thinking, man, I can't wait to go lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. I can guarantee you that probably wasn't in his mind. But the Lord gifts different individuals with different talents so that they can be used for Him. Now, not everyone is musical, or not everyone is, you know, can maybe teach a Sunday school class, but the Lord gifts each and every person, and each and every person in this room, talents that He wants you to use for Him. And He's equipped you with that, and you say, well, I have no idea. Brother Joe, I can barely bounce a basketball, or I'm not that talented, I don't feel. And you know what? That's good that you're humble, and that's great. That's, you know what? That's the kind of person that the Lord uses the most, though, the ones that don't feel that, you know, they're capable of it. But here, Moses, I think his attitude was a little different in this case, because Moses starts making excuse after excuse of why he can't be used to do what God wants him to do. And so Moses' first objection is that, behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. And so I want us to realize first off tonight that God provides the tools you need for the talents He's given you. And now, as a guy, I have quite the collection of tools in my garage. Now, my wife is very crafty. Her dad did custom cabinetry, you know, as a business for most of her life. And now he's retired and does woodworking classes. But as a guy, you have to have a tool for every project, right? And whenever a project on the list, and the list that of maybe it's a, you know, a leaky pipe, that it never fails. Every time I go to do a project, oh man, I don't have that tool. So I get to go to Home Depot and buy the tool for the project. But as we all know, whenever we've done a house project, it's not just one trip to Home Depot that you make. It's normally at least three. And a lot of times it's because of my own lackness of smartness. That's a nice way of putting it. Because I didn't check, make sure I got the right size, make sure I didn't get the right tool. But when you have all these tools, you know that before you start a project, you know you have the right tool for the project. And the Lord provides us, and He provided Moses with the tools that he would need to do the task that God had called him and given him the gift to do. Now, the first tool I want us to see that He gave Moses is found in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And that's the tool that God gave him to do the task that he wanted him to do. And Moses is thinking, okay, what's the purpose of, yeah, I have a rod, and it was for keeping the sheep. But God had a purpose for that rod. And that rod was used to represent God's power and how to display God's power to the people of Israel. And that rod was a tool that Moses used all throughout his life. And if we see the example of it when Moses smote the waters to turn the rivers in Egypt to blood. He used the rod when the Red Sea was parted. He used the rod when the children of Israel battled the Amalekites. Moses stood on top of the hill with Aaron and Hur holding up his arms with the rod. And when his arms were up, they were victorious. And when his arms would fail, they would start losing. And so that rod represented the power of God. He used the rod to smite the rock to give the children of Israel water. He misused the rod when he was told to speak to the rock, and instead in anger he smote it. And so God gives you these tools, and He gave Moses this tool, this rod, And what did he say to do? He said, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. So Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And that was really cool. And Moses was like, wow. But that wasn't Moses' response. Moses' response, as we read in the passage, was that he ran from the snake. Now, I do not like snakes. It's not that I'm afraid of snakes. I can't stand them. I do not like them. I'm sorry if you have a pet snake, but I do not like snakes. The last snake that I ran into is no longer alive, and his tail is in our refrigerator in a Ziploc baggie because I'm going to do something with it, you know, make like a paperweight, epoxy paperweight thing. But I do not like snakes. So if I was Moses, and here's my rod that I use all the time, and I throw it on the ground, and it turns into a snake, he went, ah, and he started running from it. And so that was how he responded to a task that God had asked him to do. He just simply ran from it. And that's what happens in our lives. Whenever God displays his power to us and displays, hey, I have called you and commanded you to do something, but he ran from it. You know, God will provide the rod or the power for you to do what he wants you to do. You know, he provides you the power and the strength to be able to be a witness. You know, Satan's going to put thoughts in your mind, just like he did Moses. He's going to put excuses. And Moses' excuse was, they will not believe me. You know, when you're at the grocery store and you're being checked out and everything, and the teller's there, you know, scanning everything, and the Lord works in your heart to say, hey, give this person a track. Invite him to church. And we don't do it. Guess what we're doing? We're running away from the rod. We're saying, you know what? Lord, you've given me the power, you've given me the tools to do it, but I'm going to just leave the tool there and run away from it. Yesterday, I stopped and got coffee and decided I was hungry, and I was like, okay, well, I'll go to Wendy's and get a breakfast burrito. Now, Wendy's breakfast burritos are nothing to write home about. I mean, it was good, it was food. I'm not a picky eater, so I'm not like a... I'm a foodie, but I'm not a foodie snob. So I'm like, I like food. I'll eat anything, unless it's black licorice. I'll probably refuse that if someone gives it to me. But there's a lady. I ordered my food, and I get to the drive-through window, and she's like, it's this amount of money. And I handed her my card, and she said, all right, once your card's done running, I'll have your food ready for you, and we'll get it out to you hot and fresh. And she was super friendly. And right then, the Lord said, Joe, you need to invite her to church. You need to give her a track. And I followed what the Lord said and did it. And it's not hard. But there's times where people aren't necessarily so nice about it. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't cast the rod down. You know, Moses was told that after he cast the rod down, the Lord said to pick it up. And the Bible says that he picked it up by the tail. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And so here's the snake, it's slithering, and I can see the tail's probably moving. Moses just grabs it and goes, and it turns into a rod again. I would totally be excited about that because, A, I'm not looking at a snake again, but you'd stand in awe of what God just did. And whenever we pick up that rod, whenever we use that tool that God has given us, all we can do is stand in awe of what God has done and what he's been able to do through us. You know, let's not be guilty of running from what God wants for us and from the power that and the tools that he's given us. Don't let God's plan for your life be something that you fear, but just like we talked about it, we need to just trust him like we did this morning. We need to trust that he knows what's best for us and trust him that he knows our talents. When we submit to his will and let him use us, we need to just ask him, Lord, please give me the strength, give me the power. When Moses obeyed and picked up the rod, it was him saying, Lord, all right, I trust you. I trust you with this tool. And he used that tool all throughout his ministry. But the second tool that he gave Moses was he provided him the ability to do wonders. Now, Moses stuck his hand, Bible says, in his bosom, pulled it out, and it was white, leprous. And the Lord said, put it back in. He stuck it back in, pulled it out, and it was back to normal. And if I was Moses, I'd be like, man, I'd be getting kind of worried. And then he said, if they still don't believe you, I want you to take water from the river and pour it out on the dry land, and it will become his blood. What I think is so cool and so awesome is that those same things that the Lord had Moses do in the desert, he had him when he appeared before Pharaoh, cast a rod on the ground. And the serpent, and the rod turned into a serpent, but what did that serpent do? It ate the magician's serpents, the Egyptians, the magicians of Pharaoh was able to do the same thing. But the rod, the snake, the serpent ate their rods. And so that just showed, again, the power of God and the tool that he used. But then also one of the plagues was the water into blood. So Moses ended up using these tools not just in the desert or when they came to the children of Israel, but he used it and those wonders in front of Pharaoh. And whenever we're using the tools and the abilities that God has given us, we can't help but wonder. We can't help but be in wonder of what God has done. Okay, for the example, I've known many people in ministry, many pastors, that they said the class that they hated the most in college was speech class. It was the class that they were most uncomfortable with, getting in front of people, and it is scary to stand in front of people. But the Lord called them for that purpose. And the Lord had a reason for them. And you know why the Lord did that? Because he knew their abilities. If they would have just went on what they thought their abilities were, then they wouldn't be pastors. Then they wouldn't be preaching. You know, if we just strictly serve God and with the abilities that we think that we have, rather than trusting God with the abilities that he has given us, then and only then we can see God do wonderful things. And that's the amazing thing about our God, is he knows everything about us. He knows every part of us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows our talents. He knows our abilities. But all we have to do is just simply say, Lord, I'm willing to do it. You know, you could be here this evening and the Lord's laying on your heart something that he wants you to do, and maybe it's something you've been wrestling with. You know, whenever you're using the talents that God's equipped you to do, you see him in everything that you're doing. You see him in everything. And there's no greater joy, as a testimony tonight, there's no greater joy than getting the opportunity to serve God. You know, I tell folks, you'll never regret serving God. But if you look back at your life and don't serve God, guess what? You're going to regret it. And that's the best thing you can do is serve God. And Moses himself, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5, and then as we saw in Sunday school this morning in Joshua 1:1, Moses was known as the servant of God. What a testimony. When my life is over, all I want the Lord is to be able to say is that I'm a servant of God. I'd pray that would be your heart as well, that you just want to be a servant of God. Now, Moses was far from perfect. Moses still sinned. Moses still had his faults. But you may be doubting you can serve God because of your past. You might be saying, Brother Joe, you have no idea what my life's been like. There's no way that God could use someone like me. There's no way that God could use my talents or any abilities that I have. Can I tell you? That's Satan telling you that. That's Satan saying, you know what? God can't use you. But to be used of the Lord, you must first be clean and be willing. I always tell folks, you have to be clean and be willing. Clean meaning that you don't have sin in your life, meaning that you're not separated from God, meaning that you're not living in sin, and that you're not doing wrong, doing wickedness. Now, we sin daily, but guess what we should be doing? We should be confessing it and getting it right. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The writer of that psalm was David. And that was right after his sin with Bathsheba. The sin of adultery. And that's a wicked sin. But guess what? God still used David. He was still a servant of God. God knew that David was a great leader, and he still used him. And guess what? David confessed it, got it right, and moved on, and was just a willing vessel. If you're right with the Lord, you just need to be willing. Lord, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to do it, I'm willing to do it. Because God gives you the tools, and he gives you the ability to do what he has gifted you to do. But then let's look at the second excuse that Moses makes. And I want us to see that God provides the words that you need to do the talents that he's given you. Moses says in verse 10 here of Exodus chapter 4, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Lord, have you heard me talk? I am not an eloquent speaker. I have a slow tongue. There is no way that I could lead these people out of Egypt." And I love God. I love the Lord. I love God's response here. And have you ever noticed in the Bible when the Lord was responding, what does he do it? He does it in the form of a question. You know why he does that? Because he wants us to think about the response that we're going to give. And he says, "Who created man? Who?" And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth?" God did. God made man's mouth. And God was trying to point out to Moses that he made him for this purpose. He created Moses so that Moses could be the one to lead the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You know what, folks? God has created us as Christians, has created us to serve him. Psalm 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." I want us to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, I want us to see this. God has created each of us, everyone in this room, for a purpose. And he gives you those words. Let me get over there to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 4 through 10. And this is Jeremiah talking here in chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I," that being Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child." Look at this. "But the Lord said unto him, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." In verse 5, the Lord said, "Hey, before you were formed in the belly, I knew thee. I've ordained thee to become a prophet. This is what I have created you for. I've created you to do this specific task." And even Jeremiah says, "I'm but a child." But the Lord says, "Don't say that you're a child. I'm going to put the words in your mouth. I'm going to use you. I'm going to touch your mouth, and you're going to speak the words that I put in your mouth." And how awesome is that, that Jeremiah was created for a purpose, and so was Moses. So the principle I want us to get, if Jeremiah was created for a purpose, if Moses was created for a purpose, guess what? We are created for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve God. You say, "Well, Brother Joe, I don't think God's called me to be a preacher," and that's okay. That's not what God created you for. But God created all of us to be servants. And a church is going to only grow with as many servants as it has amongst it. You know, God has given us the talents to use for him, and he's just going to use you to speak. He's going to use you to be a witness. He can use you to teach. You say, "Brother Joe, there's no way I can teach kids. I mean, I'm an exciting person and I'm outgoing, but there's no way I could teach kids." You know, I've seen time and time again people that have that mindset, and you say, hey, why don't you come help in kids ministry? And they get in there and they start serving. They start, you know, learning how to do games with kids, start learning to do crafts, start learning to do Bible stories with kids. Then all of a sudden they start learning to teach and to be able to give a lesson. And they say, wow, I had no idea that I could do this. You know what? God created you for that, to be able to serve. But you first must have to be willing. There's a purpose. No matter how young or old we are, God can still use us. You know, you might not physically be able to like sing in a choir or work with kids, but can I tell you, God can still use you. I think of Miss Jackie, how she gets that salvation list out. What a way to serve. You know, there's been times that we've gotten cards in the mail from maybe a senior saint at church that says, we just want you to know we're praying for you. We love you. You know, what an encouragement that is. You say, well, I can't teach or do this and do that anymore, but God can still use you to do something for him. For time's sake, I'm going to turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. If you want to turn over there, you can, but I just want to read that, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. This is a familiar passage, and this is Isaiah, and we're going to actually back up to verse 6. It says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, that being Isaiah, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You know, I talked about how you just have to be a clean vessel and then be willing. Isaiah, in this passage, in verse 7, it says, lo, he hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. That means sin's gone. All is right between him and the Lord. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I'm willing. I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. I'm willing to serve you, Lord, in whatever capacity. I'm willing to go, Lord, wherever you would have me to go. When we go out each day, we need to ask the Lord to be with our mouth. Be a witness. Take a stand for the Lord. You know, when we make excuses not follow the Lord, he's still going to make sure that his will is done. God will always have a plan, have his plan and his will come to pass. If you look back in our text in Exodus chapter 14, Moses made all these excuses. God gave him the tools. God said, I'm going to put the words in your mouth. I've created you for this purpose. I've created these words. I've given you these words. I'm going to be with you. But Moses still said in verse 13, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. He said, I can't do it. But guess what? Look at the Lord's response in verse 14. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. The Lord's still going to have his will accomplished, whether you do it or you don't. And God wants you to be the one to do it. Hey, if he's laid it on your heart and he's called you to do it, you should be doing it. But if you refuse to do it, if you reject it, guess what? God's still going to have his will be done. He's still going to use, he'll use someone else, but God's still going to have his will to be done. And the Lord decided to use Aaron to do the speaking for Moses. And he said in verse 15 that he'll put the words in Aaron's mouth. But if you look in verse 27, it says, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And it says, and he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. So it doesn't say that Aaron said, you know what, Lord, the desert's a long journey, or it's really hot there. I don't really want to travel out to the desert just to meet Moses. I mean, I just don't think I can do it. That wasn't Aaron's response. The Bible says he just went and met him and simply obeyed God. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 17, Ananias was asked by God to go find Saul of Tarsus and bring him. And, of course, Ananias is like, Lord, you do know that this is the gentleman that's been going throughout all the churches and having people killed. And the Lord said, I want you to go and get Saul of Tarsus. He is a chosen vessel for me to the Gentiles. So Ananias went and followed God's command, and the Lord used him. And Ananias was just a small part in the ministry of Paul. But had Ananias not gone, guess what? The Lord would have found someone else that was willing to go. You know, Christian, you're a chosen vessel unto God, and He wants to use your life. A lot of times I'll ask like a little kid or a teenager, what does God want you to be when you grow up? I'm sorry, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they'll say, oh, I want to be a firefighter, a doctor, you know, in the military. But my response to them is, what does God want you to be? Because our lives and the decisions in our lives should not ever be based on what we want. It should always be based on what God wants. And I want to encourage you all tonight in closing that if our church is going to grow, it's going to need some willing servants. Willing servants that are going to be willing to step out of their comfort zone. You say, Brother Joe, I'm not good at teaching or talking or anything like that. But guess what? Be willing to help. Be willing to step in and say, I can work in nursery. Be willing to step in and say, I can be an usher. Be willing to step in and say, hey, I can help teach a Sunday school class. Maybe say, Brother Joe, I'd be willing to sing in a choir, or I'd be willing to sing a special. I'd be willing to learn. But if we're not willing, guess what? We're not going to be able to be used. So we need to be willing servants. If we're going to see Western Hills Baptist Church grow, we need a room full of servants that are just clean vessels and are willing. God can do great things with you, each and every one of you. But are you willing? Are you willing to let Him use you tonight? No matter how scary it is, are you willing? God has created your talents. My challenge to you tonight is, what are you doing with them? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you could come to stand to your feet and have a time of invitation. Again, I don't know everyone's talents. I don't know what God's talented or given you. But I do know this, that God has created you to be a servant. God's created you to be used by Him. And you might say, Brother John, I'm already a servant. I do a lot in the church. I do this and this and this. But we should always be willing, no matter how much we do or how little we do. We should always be willing. Lord, I'm willing to serve You. Maybe you haven't been willing. Maybe you're like, I'm just not able to do it. But just like the Lord was with Moses, so He'll be with you. I'm going to encourage you tonight. If the Lord's spoken to your heart about this, about being a servant, would you just come to the altar and get that settled tonight? Western Hills Baptist Church isn't going to grow unless we have some servants that are willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to step out by faith and serve You. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever You would have for me. Maybe there's someone here that's been, Lord's work on your heart to be in full-time ministry. Guess what? We just have to answer Him. Just say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm here. If that's your heart tonight, the Lord spoke to you, come on forward to the altar and get that settled tonight.
Lord, to Thee, take my hands and let them. And beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.